Hello, podcast family. This is Moses Chavi again, your host, after a long time in hiding. I've been busy writing the book, wrapping up lots of stuff. So, praise God, we're here. Managed to produce the book, Don't Leave Your Money Behind. And looking forward to the 31st of March 2023 when I'll be launching the book on Amazon, both on Kindle and paperback. I wish I could have printed the book as well in multiple countries to be able to sell in bookstores, to distribute to readers everywhere. But this is what it is. Amazon is the largest platform for books right now. And I thought it wise to launch on Amazon and give people a chance to read on Kindle and to order the paperback to whichever country you want. So what's Don't Leave Your Money Behind about? It's a book about expert finances. And basically, just like any other personal finance management book, Don't Leave Your Money Behind is focusing on how experts can make their sums of money anywhere they are around the world. How they can do that, not in a way of getting a job or doing business, but harnessing the power of the available cash in their hands. And as I've been writing as an expert myself, I've been in the diaspora for over 13 years right now, or nearly 13 years I should say, and I've experienced the ins and outs of being an expert and living in different countries by myself as a young man and getting married and raising kids in the foreign land away from home. So what started the inspiration to write this book? Very simple. In 2019, the world got hit by COVID-19. The COVID-19 pandemic raged against the world, and no one was spared as a country. No one was spared either as a victim or a friend or a relative of a victim. And it was too much. Looking back where we are now, COVID is still there. Traces are still there. Other countries like China are still grappling with the realities of COVID-19 despite all the variants that have come in between. But as I'm speaking right now, in March 2023, it's still a reality that COVID-19 is still having a negative impact on global economies. And what happened after 2019, moving into 2020, was that governments had to survive, companies had to survive. Unfortunately, when it comes to corporate survival, companies had to start laying off people massively. Because when you look at the profit and loss statement of every company, you would realize that both direct and indirect payroll forms a big portion of the expenditure for every company. So for any CEO, any executive management, when they have to think about cutting costs, unfortunately, number one is people. So you look at the numbers of your people, how many people do we want, especially with downsizing that comes through or by a downsizing of operations. So we've reduced production, we've reduced our distributions, we've reduced logistics, and we're no longer operating at the capacity that we would usually do without the pandemic. What do? We basically need to reduce people. Then you reduce people, you reduce product lines, you reduce service lines. Then you find ways or innovative ways on how now you can serve your customers. And also what does happen is your customer base gets affected. So you start to get less and less numbers of customers. So you're serving less people, you're producing less, you're operating less, and therefore you need less people. So that's what exactly happened in the early years of the pandemic, that most companies laid off people. So I was in the middle of the chaos that happened around the world, witnessing the fear that I had myself, whether I was going to keep my job or lose it, whether I was losing my permanent state and moving into a temporary position, getting into consultancies, or going back home to Malawi. And I also faced the realities of people who got laid off in multiple countries, some of them connections, very good friends, some of them just acquaintances, some of them just acquaintances or friends of friends. But I was in a center where I experienced what happened to people as individuals and what happened to families. And what was so sad in that moment was that each one of us were living our normal lives, right? We finance a lot of our stuff as expats using bank loans, credit cards, overdrafts, everything, left, right, center. So there are people who are privileged that they get to learn about finance management early on, and they come into all these international markets already knowing how to manage their finances. Pretty much maybe they already had savings back home and they use their money to do the early setup stuff in the new country. Or some of them were lucky that the companies that hired them provided the initial settlement fees or shipping allowances, claims allowances, whatever it is. But there are different ways we settle in a new place. But the realities are, whether you're a new expat or a guru, when it comes to being in diaspora, everyone was impacted in some way. Some people just got a new job and COVID-19 hit. They had to go back home. And they would be going back home after spending a lot of money. And some of them had just gotten their credit cards and they've already put a good balance on the credit card and they have to go back home. The realities were so grim that you saw families literally being torn apart. Facing the reality of the wife or the any non-working spouse and the kids being forced to go home so that the working or one of the spouses could remain in the foreign location, basically to get a job, start making money again and fend for the family or find a new overseas destination. And there were families who were so much in types of debt that they could not leave their countries, although they lost their jobs, but they had to go home. How do you go home when you don't have money? When all your gratuity, your end of service benefits are drawn in bank loans, and the bank will not even allow you to go home because you have a big loan. What do you do in that instance? It wasn't easy. It was so hard, and you face the realities of approaching your friends and family who are also in the middle of COVID-19, and you would be lucky if they were at least afloat, if they were liquid to support your financial challenges. So as I sat and witnessed what all of us as expats went through in that season, and in the season that is at least ebbing away right now, I thought, I am an accountant, but my education didn't really serve me or help me to become wiser on finance management or at finance management. I didn't really get wiser at finance management because I was an accountant. It's more like a doctor who smokes a lot whilst every day advising other patients not to smoke because of the dangers of smoking. So as a good accountant, hard worker, good person and sincere at what I do and somehow competent at my work. But when I look at my financial life versus the financial lives even of other accountants, I felt there is a missing wisdom, a missing piece to the puzzle on financial management and personal development. It's knowledge. It's knowledge, yes, translated into action, but also there is wisdom. Because if you meet an average accountant living in the diaspora, they would basically explain to you the left, right, and center of what finance management is all about. They know how to prepare a financial, the financial position of even their own life. They can prepare a profit and loss statement of their own life. They know how to track bank payments. They can do a bank reconciliation. They can do budgeting. But the practical part of applying that to their own lives, I'm telling you, 20%, you'll be very lucky to find very competent accountants who have very healthy balance sheets of their own lives. So just looking outside, there are people who are much wiser in financial management matters, not just talking about the experts, like generally. People who are even much better, like someone who just learned forestry, but they're very good with money. Someone who's a teacher, very good with money, more than financial experts. Now, what I did was just to take a small sneak peek into people's lives, right? Regardless of their profession, but among expats. And I realized that we take these matters easily, because when you come into a foreign land, there is a tendency to live as if you're just back home, right? You have a home, you have your kids, your kids go to school every day, you go to work. You're just a normal human being. And it's not like you wake up every day and think money, think finance, think, oh, what am I serving? What am I investing in? You just wake up and say, I need to go to work. I need to deliver on my commitments at work. I need to drop my kids at school, pick them later. And over the weekend, we have a barbecue. You go and have fun. Whether it's at church or it's at the masjid or you're in a place of worship, and pretty much that's it. And it's a cycle of life. So when a pandemic meets you in that moment, that's when you wake up and go like, oh gosh, I spent years on end blowing up everything that I got. I don't even have a healthy gratuity. I don't even have like a pension like back home. And I'm facing the reality of one day going home with pretty much nothing. With nothing. And unfortunately, you can face the reality of going back home with massive bank loans that you can't even pay. So you don't have a temporary fund, you don't have an emergency fund, you don't have any form of liquidity that can sustain you even for 1 month, and you have bank loans that need to be repaid for the next 3 years. How do you survive in that environment? And yet when you ask most experts in the, I want to say in the diaspora, sounds like that should be the case, but if you ask each one of them, they will tell you that, yeah, we face the reality of not having anything, and yet our lives look beautiful outside. We call it the shiny life. How is it the shiny life? Anyways, most of us come from developing countries or emerging economies, and you even have people who are coming from successful and developed countries, but their reality back home, they are basically coming from an environment where they weren't making as much money as they do in the expat countries, right? So you tend to live a life that's far much better than what you had back home. Your kids go to most expensive schools, you get a better pay, you join golf clubs, and you basically are going to so many lessons, and your kids have so many recreational activities, and every weekend you may have staycations at hotels. I mean, what I'm saying sounds like I'm exaggerating, but there are families that are on that continent where they do everything. And there are families that are on the average side of life where they do some things. But far and large, you find that we may be driving nicer cars. We'll be living in bigger and better houses than what we have back home. Maybe we don't even have a house back home. But at least we'll be able to live in a beautiful home in the expat environment. And that's the reality of life. So if you take the social media life where we post everything that we do, you'd see that people think we are the reality of that shiny life. But the reality, if they go to meet us and sit with us over coffee, tea, whatever you like, they would realize that these guys look far much better on Facebook than what they are in reality. That this guy drives a Porsche, or Porsche, or they drive the Land Rover and their bank account is empty. This person drives a Mech, but he literally has nothing. This guy dresses Versace or Gucci. You see, I can't even pronounce these brands, to be honest. I mean, that means I've never been in these shops before. But anyways, beyond that, you can dress whatever you can, but the reality, if you don't have money, it's a problem being in an expat environment where you're relying on a visa and you don't have that nation's visa. But you don't have a sorted life about your finances, and you basically go home with nothing, right? That's a reality. So this inspiration of me now thinking, there's something we can do, not just me, but my ability is basically to be able to produce a book. Over the years, I've been writing articles for magazines, mostly professional articles on entrepreneurship, on corporate governance, on risk, internal audit, something away from personal finances. But I thought I can do this. So I have a skill that I can render to the marketplace, I can render to the world and to the expat community globally, where I can talk about finances specifically on expat lives. So there are books that have been written before. I mean, it's like millions of books on personal finances or finance management in general or investments. But on expert finances, there ain't many. So if you go on Amazon, on Goodreads, you find something on experts, whether it's raising kids or it's progressing in your career, then in how to manage your finances and as an expert, you find a wonderful and awesome book called or titled The Expert Millionaire. Brilliant book. So you find such books, but there are not many. So I came to basically fill a niche where I realized that I needed to share my life, number one, share other people's lives in a more simple way, in a more vulnerable way. No complexities, no technical jargons, nothing huge. Just talk about expat life and how we can survive the ins and outs of expat life, how we can come to these countries and you can travel anywhere, whether you're a new expat or you've been here forever, how you can go somewhere and make your money regardless of your package, whether you're getting $1,000 a month or you're receiving $100,000 a month. But it's the same. I mean, needs go by your status and your level. Someone who gets $1,000 can blow it off before the end of the month. And if someone who gets $100,000, they can also blow it off by mid-month, right? So it goes by levels. Everyone needs wisdom at their level. So I tried to work hard, to research, to talk to people and see if I can present these ideas in very simple ways with practical examples and tackling some snippets on housing, on cars, on pets, on travel, anything, right? And getting good recommendation from fellow experts who've been there, have seen that, and they're able to contribute to the theme of this book. So basically, in short, this is where the book Don't Leave Your Money Behind is coming from. And the concept doesn't really promote you as an expat not investing in the economy that you're in. And I'm also presenting another side of the story in the book where I'm saying there are experts who've made ridiculous sums of money in other countries and they have invested in those countries. They have formed big businesses in those countries. They are multi-millionaires. They have built homes in those countries, or they have bought property. I mean, you can do anything with your money. But we're looking at the average expat, the 95 or 99% of expats who come into the UK, go to Dubai, go to Saudi Arabia, go to India, go to China, go to Netherlands, but they know that one day I have to go back home. So the idea is, do whatever you can, invest wisely, train your kids where you are, contribute positively with your skills and your money in the economy that you're in, but also remember that if your idea is to one day go back home, don't leave your money behind. Do whatever you can, but remember that there's a portion that needs to go home, a portion where you need to build at least a home, a portion where you need to at least invest in something that's sustainable, that is going to continue providing you finances as you age. We're all going to get old, honestly, one day. We can't deny the fact. We're going to get old. We're going to change the environments we're living in. Most of us need to go back home at some point, right? So you need to go back home with something. So the theme of the book, Don't Leave Your Money Behind, is coming essentially from there. So the book will be launched on Amazon. You're going to have Kindle for those who love ebooks. Digital stuff, right? And paperback for those who want to order a printed version of the book. And from the 31st of March 2023, the book is on, it's live, it's active. I'm looking forward to getting my own copy because in strange circumstances, I didn't get my own copy, which is interesting. I have the E because I had to go through the manuscript, definitely. But it hits differently when you get the actual book from Amazon. So I'm looking forward to that. So looking forward to your support. And for the expat community, looking forward to the learning, the shared experiences. And I'm looking forward to interact even further. A book is just a starting point. It's a platform where I have my thoughts. But more thoughts from many people will be coming after the book is published and read by many people. So I'm looking forward to the day when we're going to have the book and especially when we're going to have conversations around expat finances. So God bless you. All the best. It's been Moses Chavi, your podcast host. And I'm glad to make this podcast or episode a bouncing back of Suits and Sanders podcast going forward. Until next time, bye.